Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writers Book Club.
Nicole J. Persson started her professional writing career at age 16 when BookTrope Editions published her fantasy novel, A Kingdom's Possession. Her second novel, Dead of Night, won gold in Forward Magazine's 2013 Book of the Year Awards. Nicole also has had short stories, flash fiction, poetry, and essays published in a handful of literary magazines. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're very excited. We were just talking before the show started that you are the daughter of Terry Persson, who we interviewed previously. So there's a tie-in, and it seems like you've gotten all the most excellent writing genes he passed down to you.
Well, believe it or not, when I first started writing, I didn't tell him that I was writing anything. For like months and months and months, I was kind of embarrassed about it. And then I think halfway through my first novel, I realized I had no idea what I was doing. So I was like, Dad,
I'm still there.
I know. I felt the same way too. And what did he say? Yeah. What was his reaction when he found out you'd already written?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if he was excited about it, he hit it well. He was like, oh, well, I have, here are some, he kind of just took me to his bookshelf and was like, here are a bunch of books on writing that you probably want to read that'll answer all of those questions. And he was like, if you have anything specific that you feel like asking me, feel free. But he was like, just do a lot of reading. So that's kind of what I did. And then anytime that I felt like I just didn't understand a concept or was confused about something or needed to work something out in my story and needed someone to talk to, I would go to him. And that's kind of how it's been ever since. Like, we'll call each other, you know, a couple times a week to talk about writing and send each other essays to read. And so it's nice. I have a built-in writing friend, which a lot of writers don't get when they first start. So that's been really nice.
That's great. And not just a writer friend, but someone who's really good at it and teaches writing and everything else. So yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lucked out, girl. Lucked out.
For like 40 years or something like that. So
Now you're 16 when your first book was published by BookTrope. Tell us about that experience.
I started writing when I was 13 and like seriously writing. I've always liked to write, but I was writing every day when I was 13 and working on a novel and doing it before school, after school, you know, whenever I could fit it in. I had a lot of extracurriculars and that kind of thing too. And I originally really wanted to learn biology. So I was doing a lot of that kind of thing and writing on the side. And then when I was 15, my dad took me to the Pacific Northwest Writers Association conference. And I think that was like kind of my test to see if I was really interested in writing or if it was kind of just like a little fleeting hobby, because I've had a lot of little fleeting hobbies. When I was a kid, I did all kinds of weird stuff and then would get sick of it and move on. So he took me there and I had a blast. It was so much fun. And just really got me even more excited about writing. So that was my aha moment of like, okay, this is something more than just a little fleeting thing that I wanted to try. So by then I was writing like really every single day, probably about 1,000 words a day.
Wow.
And yeah. And then I finished my book as my senior project for high school. And I was going to graduate early. And I started sending it out like maybe 6 months before I graduated and got rejected by a handful of agents who I had met at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. And then found BookTrope. My dad had just discovered BookTrope and they had accepted one of his books. And he was like, you know, just for the hell of it, why don't you submit to them and see what happens? And he didn't even mention to them that we were related or anything. Like, I was totally, aside from him telling me who they were, I was on my own. And, you know, the work has to speak for itself no matter what. And I heard back from them like a week or two before I graduated high school and a week or two before I turned 17. And it was really exciting. I remember my dad, they had to CC him on all of the correspondence with me when they decided that they wanted to accept it because I was a minor and couldn't speak for myself. So he's actually, the original contract is still in place. I probably need to update it now, but he had to co-sign because I was a minor.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Were they excited for you?
They were really excited. I got to announce it. We had senior presentations at my high school, and I did mine on, like, the world of writing and talked about publishing and craft and going to the conference and all that kind of stuff, and then got to announce it at the end, and it was really exciting.
Awesome.
It was really, it was really wonderful. I still get excited thinking about it.
Now, you also have a gold award from Forward Magazine for Book of the Year. Tell us about the competition and how you found out about it and how you ended up winning that.
Well, I don't remember how I found out about it. I feel like it was probably my dad because he submits to a lot of stuff. And, you know, obviously we talk about writing all the time. So I first submitted A Kingdom's Possession to that contest and was a finalist in 2011 when that came out. That was the one that I got published in high school. And then so Dead of Night was the second time that I submitted to Forward. And I remembered at that time my dad submitted one of his books that had come out that same year. And we had both submitted to a handful of contests. We got it. I was still living at home and we got it in the mail. They mailed us the news that I had won. But it said the envelope said Persan on it. So my dad assumed that it was his.
Oh, no!
That is hilarious!
And realized that it was me who had won, so I beat him, which was kind of funny. And we were in different categories, but it was funny because he was just assuming that, you know, it came to his address and had his name on it and all of that because he had submitted them for us. So it was pretty funny. But it was really exciting. I mean, the first book was a finalist and the second one won. And so I feel like at least I'm moving in the right direction, but it took a long time for it to kind of hit me.
At what age? I mean, how old were you when you got these two different awards?
I think I was like 18 or 19.
Wow.
That's a whole life ahead of you. That's so exciting for you.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, it's kind of freaky though. Like I don't want to be one of those people who peaks really early like that. Like, that's the highlight of my writing career already happened.
Oh, let's hope that's not the case.
I don't think that'll be the case, but
I mean, Katie, I just hope we make it through. On the other end, just will we make it through?
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
Before we die, will we be?
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that I've seen on your materials is that you're really good at SEO, search engine optimization. And for all of us old geezers that don't quite get all that stuff, and your social media marketing, can you give us, first of all, tell our listeners what that is and how it's useful in the marketing of books and your social media presence?
I always say that the number one thing that really sells books is word of mouth and people hearing about it and having books be visible. Most of the time, everybody who I have encountered has said that they read books when they're recommended to them by their friends. That's kind of the top reason. They don't just browse and pick something out. Usually they read something that someone else recommends. So a really great way to reach readers is being online and being present online through social media and, you know, having good search engine optimization. And search engine optimization is making sure that you are showing up really well when somebody Googles you or looks you up online in some other way. So when someone types in Nicole J. Persan on Google, I want to be the first one who shows up. I want my website to show up. I want my Amazon author profile to show up. I want my social media to show up, so on and so forth, so that it's really easy for people to find me online. So search engine optimization, kind of when you get into manipulating it, it sounds more complicated than it is. There are certain things that you can do on your website to improve it, such as manipulating the metadata, which is like the descriptions of your different pages and that kind of thing.
Right.
And then owning many online, if you can imagine my air quotes, properties. So that includes social media and that kind of thing. So the more places I am online, the better I'll show up on Google, because Google says like, oh, they must be looking for this person because this person is everywhere on the internet. So that's kind of my like basic strategy.
Okay. So given everything that you've said, how do you use that in terms of helping market your books?
The first thing that I really, the thing that I focus on the most is my social media. I know a lot of authors go on Pinterest and Instagram and Google Plus and LinkedIn and all of those other places, but the two primary ones that I like to use are Twitter and Facebook. Most of the time, what I do online is try to reach out to people who might like the content of my books. So rather than talking about my book on Twitter and Facebook, what I do is talk about things that relate to my book. And that kind of generates interest. So if you're writing, you know, the current book that I'm working on is a contemporary novel about a baker. So something that I would do online to generate interest would be to talk about baking and talk about people who like food and who might like a little bit of romance and that kind of thing, and try to, you know, post things that are tangent to just my book.
Right.
So that I'm building followers who have a genuine interest in the content. So then when I do say I have a book coming out and it has a baker in it, the people who are seeing that are already used to me posting about that kind of thing.
Oh, right.
And they're genuinely interested in it. And they'll say, oh, you know, she has a really good sense of baker humor. I'm gonna try picking up her book.
Oh, thank you, Hugh. That's what we're looking for.
She posts funny things that I agree with that have to do with baking,
right.
And that's something that I'm interested. Maybe I'll check it out. And it's kind of about, you know, building that emotional connection and that personal connection with people is really, really useful. I mean, it's useful to have all of your online properties so it's easy for people to see you, but to engage with them directly, I think, is really where you can get results. It's hard to measure. There are a lot of analytic tools that can help you measure, you know, who clicked on this and how many people visited that.
I want to ask a quick question about that. Can you post too much? I mean, do you find with Twitter there's an amount that you post, or Facebook? Do you have a certain number?
Yeah, I tend to manage a handful of social media accounts for other organizations, so I kind of end up neglecting my own. But I say that once a day on Facebook, at least once a day on Twitter, is kind of the sweet spot. But honestly, I mean, that's kind of my social media expertise talking. The writer in me says, write first and then go on social media.
Yeah.
Because really, you're not going to have anything to market if you're not working on something.
Right.
And continually working on something. And that's the most important thing anyway. That's why we're doing all of this anyway.
Right.
So I always say, you know, make sure that you're making time to write and then make time for your social media and that kind of thing. And that's when, you know, scheduling tools are really handy. Facebook allows you to schedule posts so that you don't have to do it the day of.
How do they do that? Is that through like Hootsuite or something? Or
no, Hootsuite is separate. When you're on Facebook, you can actually, in your author page, there's a tab that says publishing tools. And you can actually go in there and there's a little thing that says scheduled posts. And you can say, you create a post, like you're going to post it right now. And then there's like a little arrow next to the post button and you can click that and it'll say schedule. And then you can schedule it for like next week.
Hey, that's good tool for us to know, KJ.
It's a great tool.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it's really handy. So that way you don't have to sign into Hootsuite in order to do it. And that's the one thing that's kind of, you have to balance it. Something that I do for the social media profiles that I manage is I'll sit down like on a Sunday afternoon or sometime when I have a good chunk of time, and I'll schedule posts for Twitter and Facebook. But the downside of using Hootsuite or scheduling from Facebook directly is the whole point of being on social media is to be social and to be interacting with people directly. And it's really obvious when you're using Hootsuite, because I think it says that it was posted from Hootsuite, but it's also kind of clear because you'll see people posting things that feel a little prepackaged, and then they won't engage with anyone. Oh. So people will comment on the post, but then you don't see the person responding. So what I like to do is I'll come up with the content on like a Sunday and schedule it. But then I check for 15 minutes every day to respond to people. So I'm active on social media every day, but I'm not coming up with new stuff to say every day, which kind of takes the time out of it.
That makes sense. And then you're able to interact with everyone and respond. If you know they liked your whatever you scheduled to post, then you get back to them and have a conversation about it, which was the whole intent of it to begin
yes.
with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I like what you were saying before too. Like as you're creating the post that you do, you're essentially trying to talk to your target market for your books. So for you, it's the baking. You're talking to those people that bake, and by posting things, and I'm sure you hashtag and all those things that bring those people to you. So you're building not just hi, I'm talking and interacting with you. Hi, target market. How are you today, target market? And then down the road, when you have something to sell them, they're already in Camp Nicole, right?
I'm a private, introverted person most of the time, which I think most authors can, you know, agree with and relate to. So it's hard to be really like personal online in a very public way. And I think that's something that a lot of writers deal with, but I recommend, you know, you don't have to post things about your kids or what you ate, you know, earlier in the day or anything like that. But I like to post things that interest me. So like I said earlier, I like biology. So I'll post something about biology every once in a while and be like, hey, this is kind of cool. Just to give people a sense of who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I do this all the time. The more I like somebody, the more I'm apt to buy their book. If I see an author who I've never met before online who's posting like hilarious cat videos all the time, I have two cats, like I'll buy their book. I, you know, we have the same sense of humor, the same interests, right. Or the same worldview. So I think it's also useful not just to post about the content in your book, but also to build an online persona that kind of represents who you are as a person, so that, you know, if I do, because not every single book I write is going to be about baking. And so I also want to attract people just for me and what I'm interested in, and right. hope that the next time that I write some kind of like biological thriller or a science fiction that has a lot of marine biology in it or something like that, that I'll already have that audience as well.
Your dad, obviously, we were talking earlier about Terry. He is a very successful writer and has written many books about, what was it? And you actually wrote a book together, the two of you. Tell us what that experience was like to write with your dad. Was that fun? I actually interviewed Terry and Susan about it, but I'd love to hear your perspective as well.
Yeah, it was really funny. So we teach all the time. I teach all the time. And often conferences, when both of us are attending a conference, they'll have us teach a class together. They like the father-daughter thing. And it's really fun. We always have a blast because we think really similarly. So it's easy for us to, it kind of ends up being us having a conversation about writing in front of people.
That's cool.
Which is really fun. So my dad and Susan were talking about writing a book. He had always wanted to write a book on writing, on the craft of writing. And we teach, my dad and I teach a class separately and together called Breaking the Rules of Fiction, where it's all about taking the rules like show, don't tell, and don't use adverbs and that kind of thing, and showing writers how to do it successfully and how other writers do it successfully. Fast forward a little bit, and my dad and Susan had been talking about co-writing a book. And he called me and was like, we really want to do a Breaking the Rules book and call it Tell, Don't Show, which I thought was pretty funny, and talk all about breaking the rules. It's people love going to that class. It's always packed, cool. No matter what. Like, wow. Writers are rule breakers, and they want to know how to be like, you know, screw you, editor. I'm going to use an adverb there kind of thing. So he kind of roped me into it, and it was funny because often when he teaches a class or I teach a class, we borrow each other's notes. So he had already written a lot of the book, but I was kind of the last one to contribute to it and supplement what was already there. And it was really funny because I know that Dad, in compiling it, had taken excerpts of his own notes for the book. And then when I was going through, I realized that some of the excerpts that he had already included were actually my notes.
Did you sleep over that?
So I was reading through it and I'd be like, that doesn't sound like Susan or Terry. That sounds like me talking. So it was a really fun project to work on. We had a blast adding things, challenging each other's opinions. And so it's kind of just about knowing why those rules are in place and understanding the intention behind them so that you can then break the rule while still addressing whatever that original intention was. Right. So yeah, it was really fun.
That's good. No, that's great. That's really great information. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
So that kind of leads me nicely onto the next question is, tell us a little bit about your writing process. I mean, you talked a little bit about the importance of, you know, making sure you get that writing time in. Do you have a process that you follow each day or each week?
Yeah, I write every day. I've been saying lately, I think about my writing brain as a muscle. And, you know, when you're working out regularly, you can build up a lot of weight. So when I am working on a novel regularly and I'm writing every day, I can lift more words, so to speak. So I can write 1,600 words or 2,000 words in a small amount of time in the mornings. I write in the mornings. But then if I skip too long, I can't lift as many words anymore. And I kind of have to like on-ramp back into it. So I start out with like 500 words. Yes. Yeah. I like to write in the morning. And I was just saying, I like to write every day because it keeps me going. I kind of build up a momentum and it's really hard for me to stop for like a week and then try to be as productive again. So I like to be really consistent about it and, you know, work that muscle every day. And it helps me keep going, and it also adds consistency to my work as well. So there's that old saying, I don't think it was originally about writing, but it's essentially, you know, if you skip a day of writing, you notice it. If you skip 2 days of writing, your editor notices it. And if you skip 3 days, your reader notices it. And I really do believe in that. I think, you know, you kind of forget where your story was, or you're not in that same space when you skip too long. And I write in the morning because I like to, my writing is the one thing that I get to do for me every single day. It's my completely one selfish thing most of the time, because I'm in school and I work and I have a really busy life, and writing is my time. And I like to give that aspect of my life my best energy. And my best energy is in the morning. So I like to come to my novel fresh. I don't like to have the scum of the day on me when I start working on my novel. At it with a fresh mind.
The scum of the day. Ah, that is so beautiful. Is she a writer or what? How colorful is that?
That's right, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
But it's true. So I like to do that. And I, you know, a lot of writers have like a ritual that they do to kind of get them in that space. So usually I'll like light a candle or something like that. And that kind of signals like, this is my time to be working on my book. So that's kind of my basic approach. And then just talking more about my process, I'm a pantser, so I write by the seat of my pants. I don't like to outline too much. Nice. Because I like to write for the journey. I usually have an idea of where the book starts and what the climax is and maybe how the characters end up at the very end. But that's about it. And the rest of it is kind of about figuring out what happens and exploring it myself and kind of learning what happens to the character as the character is learning what happens to the character. And it makes for a very messy first draft. but that's the way that
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Well, and I don't, my dad always used to say, friends don't let friends read first drafts.
So, that's hilarious.
You know, good. I like that.
It's true. Like, it gives you the freedom to just get it down and not worry. Like, nobody's going to see it until until it's in its second or third draft.
Right.
And that way, I mean, I don't get writer's block because I don't have that. It kind of releases me from that fear of judgment or the book being weird or people not liking it or like a lot of those concerns kind of melt away when you promise yourself that no one is going to read it until you have edited it thoroughly first. So that's kind of how I approach it.
No, that's really good. That's really good information. And I think you're right. I read somewhere that you write the first draft for you and then the second draft for your audience, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah. You know, I love editing. I'm editing my book right now, my current book. And it's so much fun because I think of it as like you're kind of just finding your way in the first draft. And the second draft and the third draft for me are all about finding those like little gold nuggets of truth in your first draft and sifting them out and polishing them up and making them consistent with each other. You know, so it's not like your first draft is just a pile of crap. It's allowed to be rough around the edges, and it's your job in your editing process to uplift those wonderful things that you discovered in the first draft. Because I think, for me, the first draft is probably my most creative and my most freeing. So it might not be technically correct or consistent, but it has really magical things in it, and I don't like to lose those. I like to uplift them in my editing process. So,
no, that's wonderful. I love the nuggets. I love the thought of like looking for the nugget within your work. That's great. So what are you actually working on at the moment, Nicole?
So the thing I'm working on right now is the Baker book. And I'm currently working on a master's in fine arts. The thesis for the program is a final book. You write a book at the end of the program. So that's what I'm working on right now. And it's completely different than anything I've written before. I mainly write fantasy. I write in all genres, but for novels, I write fantasy. And this is like a contemporary women's fiction.
Cool.
And it's non-chronological, so it's told out of order. And it's like a very short novel, very long novella. I feel weird calling it a novel because usually my novels are like 100,000 words and this is like 50.
Hmm.
So it's little, it's out of order, it's a genre that I'm not used to. It's told in present tense, which is a tense that I'm not used to. It has recipes included in the narrative. So it's kind of like a mixed form. It's really, it's odd.
It sounds like you've broken all the rules, Nicole.
Yeah, which is great.
it is completely uprooted my entire writing process. Like, I'm a really organized person, and it just makes me want to tear my hair out sometimes. Because it demands a little bit more letting go than I'm used to. So, yeah, it's been really fun. It's a really, really fun project. And I'm, like I said, I'm editing it now. And so I'm kind of discovering those little nuggets. And I feel like there's a lot of them and that's good.
Yeah.
So,
name yet?
The working title is The Ingredients of Us.
Oh, I like
that. Yeah. You can ask when it might be published. Is that what you're going to ask, KJ?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm wanting to place it yet. So I'll probably shop it around a little bit and see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. If you guys know of any place that's looking for a non-chronological,
make a story.
Making contemporary women's fiction told out of order.
I'm sure you'll find somebody out there that knows all about that.
Sounds definitely traditionally published. That's just what they're looking
for. Everything.
So if you're listening to this podcast and that just totally sings your song, then let us know.
Yes.
Yeah, let me know. I'm in the market. So,
yeah, fabulous.
That's awesome. All right, Suzanne, do you want to do the lightning round?
You do the lightning round.
I didn't know there would be a lightning
There's
round.
There's a lightning round.
Oh, tell you about the lightning round. Oh, and you better prepare yourself, Nicole. This do you know what it is, first of all? Have you any idea?
Well, I'm assuming it's fast.
Yes. Good.
Your dad passed it. He managed to make it through.
All right.
He did it twice.
He actually did it twice.
And he gave us some of the same exact answer, so he definitely meant it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
At least he's consistent.
Yes, exactly. It's just a series of 10 questions that we ask every author. It's a way for us to get to know you a little better, maybe spark a little conversation, laugh a little, we find some of the most interesting little nuggets in there. So.
All right.
Are you ready?
It's like that first draft. We're just looking for the nuggets.
That's right. We need some
nuggets.
All
right. Well, but see, I usually don't let people see the first draft, so... We'll see how this goes.
They'll have to listen to it anyway, so.
Listen to it, yes.
Okay, so what is your favorite band or artist?
Ooh.
Pick one.
I like everything from jazz to pop.
What's something that you're listening to in the last week that you just are, like, in love with right now?
Oh, I'm a really big Adele fan.
There you go.
So, yeah.
You have a few Adele fans. That's not been the first time we've had that answer.
Absolutely.
You know, I have been a fan of hers since before she was popular, and I take really great pride in that. I bought her first album, probably right around the time that she was even first on the radio, and I had people recommending her to me when her second album came out, and I was like, oh, I know.
Been on that for a while.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's cool. Left coast or right coast?
Oh, like in the country?
Yes.
West coast.
West coast. What's your favorite writing spot?
My desk. But yeah, my desk is kind of my writing space.
There you go. Are you a pantser or a plotter?
A pantser.
Pantser. If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
Ooh, 1920s.
Ooh, that was a quick answer.
Straight away.
Yeah, why? Tell us why.
Jazz age.
Oh, yeah.
That
is that
fun.
Why you want to be a flapper?
I wouldn't say that I want to be a flapper, but I think it would be a good time. I mean, I like a lot of the writers from that era. I like the music. I like the fashion. Yeah, it's a fun time.
That makes sense. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Ooh. Oh, that's so hard. For me, it used to be flying. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be cool to fly.
It would.
I don't know. Nowadays, maybe like the ability to manipulate time.
That sounds awesome.
I like that one. Imagine how much you could write with that one.
Yeah.
There, I know, exactly. Like, there's not enough hours in the day, and I'll be in the middle of a scene and have to, like, go to a meeting or something. So it would be nice to just, like, hit pause.
That's a great idea.
I want that superpower.
I do, too. I could just picture it. I pause it, and my kids are, like, buzzing around me, but then I have this quiet moment to write, and I could just see they're all
exactly.
safe.
Yeah, or maybe, like, teleport. I think that would be really useful, too. Because I'm in traffic a lot, and it would be nice to just like get somewhere.
There you go.
So that might be another good one.
Okay, well, let's combine them to transport it.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. Who or what inspires you?
Oh, everything. I think there's not a day that goes by that I'm not inspired by something. Reading, I watch a lot of TV shows. I think it's a really great way for me to study a story without straining my eyes so much because I'm on my computer all day reading. So pretty much anything.
That's great. I love that. What a good attitude.
I love that you're noticing all that. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I really like science. So new findings in science. I used to read a lot of science magazines like Scientific American and ID and all of those interesting things. Like, there's an unlimited source of material. Like, I could never not have something to write about or be inspired by.
That's good. That's good. Which book do you wish you had written?
Oh, wow. Hey. I don't know, like Harry Potter.
Ah, there you go.
Something that, I mean, you know, that's just for the franchise, basically.
Right, right. But you also write fantasy, so I'm sure you can kind of get into that world.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I wish I liked to write things that were really popular and sold really well, basically. But I would say something that a writer's work that I admire and I aspire to, you know, reach the level of their work would be Lily Tuck, who won the National Book Award a while ago. And she writes, her work is, I'll buy anything she writes.
Wow.
She's just really that talented. So her book, I Married You for Happiness, is one of my favorite books of all time. So when it comes to craft and the writing side of it, I would really love to be as talented and, you know, just wonderful as she is.
Cool.
But I also kind of wish that, you know, my books made billions of dollars. That would be nice.
Well, you're young yet. You're young yet. Just give it some time.
Give it some time.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I wouldn't need the ability to teleport or
there
stop.
There you go. You said it. Pause time. You could just stay at home.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can just get it all. You'd still need more time. The editor banging on your door and you'd be like, oh, I'm not done yet. Leave me alone. What is your favorite writing or author moment so far?
Any of those moments where, like, you're writing along and you get to a spot where you're like, you have a direction in mind, but your book is just like demanding that you take a turn. And it's one of those like, oh, man, like, why are you doing this to me kind of moments.
Right.
But it always yields the best work.
Yes. I know what you
like,
mean.
Like, I think it's, you know, finding those moments where it's like spontaneous and you're like subconscious or whatever, magical writing fairies or something, whatever. It's like
magical writing fairies. I have those.
Yeah. Like pulling you in that direction.
Right.
Those are, yeah. Some, my best work comes from that.
Those,
any of those moments. Yeah. Love those.
That's the wonderful thing about being a pantser is you're open to that opportunity.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
All right. Last question. One thing you wish you had been told about being a writer.
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably, like, it doesn't, well, I don't know. I was told a lot of things when I first started writing that have all been pretty much true.
Right.
So I guess the one that I would have liked to have known and not had to figure out and stumble through was the fact that once you get something published, there's this added layer of anxiety that you get around your work. So if you've never been published before, there's this degree of like, you don't worry about what your publisher is going to say about it. You don't worry about what your editor is going to say about it. You don't worry about, like, you don't imagine those, like, negative Amazon reviews.
Oh.
And as soon as I got published so young that I wasn't prepared for that. And I think it was really crippling for a while.
Oh.
And it's taken a long time for me to kind of come to terms with that and be a little bit more free. And like I said, getting back to that really religious practice of not letting anybody see the work until I'm ready has been, you know, really helpful for that. But yeah, that's probably the one thing that I would have liked to have known ahead of time is just because it was just really unexpected. Yeah, that too. All of my novels are really different. So.
Well, that's cool. It's like your dad. Like your dad.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's like up to your dad.
Yeah, a lot of different genres
it's
in there.
It's a multi-genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had trouble finding a genre he didn't write in.
It's true. Yeah, I don't think there is one. But yeah, I mean, I think that is one of his influences on me is just like being interested in everything. And like that was my trouble when I was young too is like, what am I going to do with my life? I'm interested in everything. And I have all these different hobbies and I'm flitting from one to the next. And writing is so great because I can explore anything. I can become anything.
Those lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can be a marine biologist for a year and a half while I'm working on a book, or, you know, I can be a astronaut or anything. Yeah. Baker.
Right. That's true. Well, Nicole, yeah. Before we go, can we get you to just put up your website so people can find you?
Sure. My website is just my name. It's www.nicole, Nicole J Persun, Persun.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Yes, everyone head over and check out her books, and hopefully you'll have a little segment on your new book that's coming out so we can check that out as well.
Yeah, not quite, but eventually I'll stick something up there.
Right. Well, this time. Right, and this podcast will be on here forever, so it's actually will be true at some point.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a great conversation. I've loved all the information you've given us, and it's really good to see, you know, the younger person's version and then also your knowledge about writing and all the social media SEO stuff. So thank you so much. It's been great getting to know you a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. Thank you, Nicole. That was wonderful.
Please join us next week where we welcome our very own Suzanne Kelman. She gives us a lot of really good book marketing tips, some of which she's learned from her publisher, Amazon, and has done a lot of research on how to effectively launch your book. So I hope you stay tuned for that.
You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.